I mean, yes, you know, when you're first married, you get married, things aren't as busy. Children come along, life gets busier, okay? And then when the children leave, then it kind of slows back down. So she had various seasons in her life, so she wasn't trying to do all of this at once. Because if she had saved up money and bought a field, she didn't do that right away. You know, it might have been after the kids were gone, you know, whatever. So just know that you're not having to do this all at once, okay? And like I said, you are going to have seasons that are going to be busier than other seasons in your life just because of what you're doing. Like now, it's going to be busier. Once you get through this round of school, it won't be quite as busy because you won't be doing all that studying and that type of thing. So, you know, you're still going to be busy, but and probably something else will come along and take that place, but it's just different. You know, things go different. No comment, sister. If she wanted you to talk, she would have said, "Ashley, you can talk now." But does that help a little bit? She isn't trying to do all of this at once.
Yeah.
Okay. She's going through seasons. And like I said, some seasons are going to be, can't you testify that? There are some seasons in life that are busier than other seasons. I mean, my life isn't as busy now as it was when the kids were little. I mean, I keep busy, but there's a different busyness, okay? So just know that she's not trying to do all of this at once. And maybe she's not asking you to do all of this. I mean, you know, God may not be asking you to do all this. I think the thing that God's trying to show us here is she's a worker. And I guess that's the thing I want to you ladies to understand, because it seems like in our society today that people think work 40 hours a week and that's all they work. And how many of you know that isn't it? You know, you don't make a living on 40 hours a week. I don't care if you're a doctor or a lawyer or whatever, they do not work 40 hours a week. You know, they don't. I mean, these surgeons, they're there early in the morning till late at night. And maybe they don't work every day, but they're putting in long hours. So just understand that we don't work just 40 hours. It's a lifetime of working, and we need to enjoy it and not be fussing because we have to work. And I think that's what's happening. We have people, and they're fussing because they have to work. Well, that's part of life, okay? And you're happiest when you're working and you're producing. You know, when you quit producing, you're not happy any longer. We need to be producing something. And there again, our seasons are different in what we produce. When we get older, we're not going to produce the same that we did when we were young, but we can still produce. Okay, there's things still that we can do. So maybe that'll help you answer your question, that she's not trying to do all of this at once. And she's doing a lot of different things. And the one verse, I think we've already, did we talk about the one where she has servants, where she gave the servants task, or is that coming up? Yeah, and that one there, they say that word there is servants. Okay, so if that's the case, she had people helping her do what, you know, she needed to do. And that's what I said. Sometimes you may have to have people that are helping you to get everything done that you need to get done. Okay? So, all right, so we're going to start in verse 21, and we're going to pick it up, and we're going to do the, in the New King James, it says, "She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet." Or the Amplified says, "She does not fear the snow for her family, for all her household are doubly clothed in scarlet." So this woman is not afraid. And what's happened today is women are afraid. They're afraid of this, and they're afraid of that, and they're afraid of their kids doing this, or they're afraid of their kids getting in that, or they're afraid because their kids are going to school. Hey, look, God can watch over our kids. We don't have to be afraid. He can take care of it. So she's not afraid. And she's looking at the world in the natural like she's got her family clothed. So her family is ready for the cold. The snow there simply means cold. So she's got her family ready. We all of us in this climate, we understand about snow, don't we? So when it starts getting cold, what do? We start making sure we got winter clothes, the kids got winter clothes, we got hats and gloves and boots and whatever we need. we're preparing for the cold. And that's what she does. She's making sure that her household is prepared for the cold. And not only is she preparing it in the natural, I believe she's also doing it in the spiritual. She's watching over them with prayer and speaking the word over them. She's seeing that her family is taken care of, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And she's not afraid of what's to come. Why? Because she's prepared. She's prepared for victory. She's clothed for battle, ready to overcome. And how do we get prepared? By knowing who we are in Christ and knowing his word. You know, when we know what Jesus has done for us, we don't have to be afraid. Yes, we might have some anxious times, but we still know where to go to get the answers that we need and to get the peace that we need. I don't know about you, but I've had times when I've not been at peace. And so what have I done? I've gone to the Word, and I've read the peace scriptures, and I've confessed them until I can walk in peace about the situation, whatever it might be. And the same is true. Whatever has you afraid, whatever has you anxious, go to the Word, find some scriptures, and start confessing them to yourself. And so that's what she's done. She's not afraid. And this woman stands in God's righteousness and his grace. And when you stand identified with Christ and in his righteousness, you understand the power of his love and his grace for you. So you know that you have right standing, and you know that you walk in grace. So you don't have anything to fear. And you know, if you're parents that have teenage kids, you don't have to worry about those teenage years. Even if you've got little kids, people are always talking about, oh, the teenage years. Well, you don't have to worry about it. You know, confess the word over your kids, teach your kids, and they can walk right through the teenage years. And if you hit some bumps, where do you go? You go to the Word. Say, God, this child of mine is a disciple taught of the Lord, and great is his peace and undisturbed composure. Well, let's not get anxious about it. Why are we worrying about our kids in their teenage years when they're 4 and 5 years old? I mean, you know, we've got a long time before they hit the teenage years. So we don't have to be afraid of it. So let's not let fear grip us concerning our kids and what they're going to do, or afraid they're going to get into drugs, afraid they're going to get into alcohol. Whatever. Hey, no, wait a minute. Let's take them and let's walk them through life. That's our responsibility as mom. Hey, come on, kids. This is the way we're going to walk. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're not going to do. And that's why they're doubly clothed in scarlet, because you've prayed over them. And you've prayed the word over them and confessed the word over them. And you're going to see victory. In verse 22, it says, she makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. The Amplified says, she makes for herself coverlets, cushions, and rugs of tapestry. Her clothing is linen, pure and fine, and purple. Or the Passion says, her clothing is beautifully knit together, a purple gown of exquisite linen. Whoa. All right. So not only does she have nice things, and you know, in our day and age, we're probably not going to make bedspreads, okay? Or we're not going to make coverings, or unless we've got Dorothy that's reupholstering it for us. But what God's saying is, hey, you can have nice things, right? God wants you to have nice things. He wants you to feel good about how your house looks. And he wants you to have those nice things. And also, he wants you to look nice. There's no reason why, ladies, that we can't look nice. We can set the example for the world. We don't have to dress like they do. Okay, now I'm going to be the old lady again, okay? Ladies, I think that we need to be very careful about some of the clothes that we're wearing now. Okay? Let's be modest in how we dress. Now, you know, I want to be covered from head to toe, okay? I mean, that's just the way I am. But I think that we've let the world dictate how we're going to dress. And you know, when I see some of these movie stars, I'm going, dear Jesus, put some clothes on. I mean, do we have to reveal everything we've got? You know what, ladies? We've all got the same thing, okay? Well, that's what you tell me. I'm just being honest, okay? I mean, really. And I know they've got them low cut, and I know they've got them short, and I know they got them whatever, but you know, we can be modest about it. And I know it's difficult for you to find things that aren't short, aren't low cut, and that type of thing, okay? You know, I'd give anything if I could go out and buy a longer dress, okay? I don't like these short things, and I'm not wearing them. Grandma's not wearing them, okay? So I guess, you know, I am going to wear something, so I guess I'll wear pants, all right? I'm just saying, let's be modest about how we dress. We can dress, we can set the standard. We don't have to dress like everybody else. Did you get where I'm coming from? You know? And another thing, if you've got young girls, all right, let's dress them modestly. Here's what I'm seeing. Okay, I'm going to go to bathing suits, all right? I see these young girls wearing practically nothing for bathing suits. Now, let me ask you this. We've got these teenage boys. Their testosterone is flowing, and your daughter is out there practically with no clothes on. Now, what do you think he's going to do? Let's put some clothes. We can buy decent bathing suits. They may not be as easily defined as some of the others. We can buy nice one-piece ones. We can buy the two-piece ones that have the longer tops. We do not need to wear the bikinis, and we do not need to put them on our kids. We're putting them on our kids when they're really little, and they don't think anything about it. Well, you know, really, ladies, I'm serious. And then our girls get the teenage years, and something happens, and we're blaming it on the boys. Don't blame it on the boys. If you had a teenage son, do you want the girls dressing like your daughter's dressing? No, you don't. Okay, the boys need to be boys. They need to act right, but our girls do too, and so let's dress them right. And they might throw a fit, but say, no, you are not wearing that. I'm sorry, I'm old, okay? I'm old-fashioned. But nevertheless, and most of these kids that wear these two-piece bikinis don't have the shape or the figure to wear them. They hang out everywhere, you know? Well, I just want to be truthful with you, okay? And let's help our teenage kids, all right? And these, and I know they're up against it with skirts and dresses because they're short, all right? I was just at a banquet that was a Christian banquet. All the girls were, you know, Christian kids. They're dressed in dresses and stuff, but some of them, let me tell you, they did not hardly cover everything. They were so short. And I'm saying, okay, if you're going to let your daughter wear that, then put something on underneath the dress. Because you know what? Teenage girls, and particularly when you talk about middle school girls, they don't know how to conduct themselves and sit right and walk right and that type of thing. So I'm saying, if you're going to wear that shorter dress, then you're going to put on leggings or you're going to put on something. Okay? Yes, Kathy. Well, you know, I think we've bought the lie that we have to dress like the world. And I understand, hey, I have a hard time finding clothes that I want to wear, okay? And I understand when you get to be 70 years old, some things don't look as, you know, I don't pretend to be a preppy girl or a preppy great-grandma. I'm great-grandma, and I like it, okay? But I don't have to look like I'm old and decrepit. You know, I can still look nice. But I'm just saying I understand it is difficult to buy clothes that aren't too low cut or whatever. But I still think that we can monitor what they wear. All right? And I'm throwing it out there. You don't, you know, I'm just telling you how I feel about it. Because I think that we're making a mistake when we're letting our kids do this. And then we're fussing because they get in trouble or something happens. Well, I'm saying could it be that we kind of brought it on ourselves? And like I said, it takes both the boy and the girl. And I understand we have situations where, you know, the boys have taken liberty or the girls have taken liberty or whatever. But I'm just saying, if we would watch how we dress them, we could avoid some of it. Some of these movie stars could avoid some of the things that they have faced if they would have put some clothes on. And they're pretty, and they got good figures, okay? But for heaven's sakes, cover up. You know, I don't want to see all that. I know what you have. I have it too, but I don't need to see it. You know? Okay, so much for that. I'll get off of my soapbox. Well, can't I be truthful?
Yeah, I'm just seeing what you got.
Okay, he's 70 years old. He's not a 17-year-old. You can tell what Larry's thinking because his face is red. So when you see his face red, you know what is going on. His expression says it all. Okay, on to verse 23. Now we're going to go back to the husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, we started out with the godly woman, and her husband was trusting in her. She was doing him good all the days of her life. And now he shows up again, and this time he's profited from a wife that has deserted or has devoted herself to completing him, to giving herself to him and doing him good all the days of his life. So we can be an influence, both either good or bad, for our husbands. And yes, ultimately the man has the final say in what he does, but I believe God has called wives to be a support, an encouragement, and a helpmeet, helping him do whatever God has called him to do. And you know, really the saying that says behind every good husband there's a good wife, most of the time, I believe that's true. There was somebody behind him, supporting him, encouraging him, and helping him get where he's going. So we need to go about the affairs of our household with such competence that our husband is free to become a responsible and respected leader. And they can do that because we've stepped up and done what God has asked us to do, to be the helpmeet that they need. Matthew Henry's commentary says, listen to this. He says, by his appearing clean and neat in dress, everything about him, decent and handsome, clothes clean and pressed, shoes polished and clothes matched, one may know he has a good wife at home that takes care of his clothes. I thought that was pretty cool. They can tell by looking at him that he's got a good wife at home that's taking care of him. And he's talking about clothes, but it's also talking about whatever that you see in him. They know that there's a good wife behind him. And he's sitting in the seat of authority. Now, in the seat of authority or elders among the land, that could be whatever job he has. You know, if he has a construction business, if he's a president, a banker, a coach, or whatever, we can be that wife that's behind him, that's helping him in that position that he's been called to be in. And she encourages and comforts him and helps him in any way that she can. And here again, in the last part of the verse, Matthew Henry says, by his wise counsels and prudent management of affairs, it appears that he has a discreet companion in his bosom. By conversation with him, he improves himself. By his cheerful countenance and pleasant humor, it appears that he has an agreeable wife at home, for many that have not have their tempers strangely soured by it. So they can tell he's got a good wife at home that's taking care of him. So ladies, we just need to be a helpmeet to our husbands and help them do whatever needs to be done. Proverbs 31:24 says she makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. So here again, we see her talents. This lady's a very talented woman. Now, you may not sew. You may not do the things that she's done, but you've got talents. And so you need to use them. Don't be passive about it. God gave you those talents, so use them to the best of your ability to provide for your family. And here again, you know, she's a worker. We're just talking about how she works. And God wants whatever we do to be profitable. So if you've got a talent, then market it. Make it profitable. That's what she was doing. She was making garments and sashes and selling them to the merchants. So if we've got a talent, let's ask God to show us how to market this talent, how to make the best use of this talent. He didn't give us this talent for we to just hide it. He gave us this talent so we could use it and bless somebody else with it. Because all of you that have talents, they're talents that are going to bless somebody. Whether you're making something or doing something or whatever it is, your talent is going to bless others. And so God's given it to you so that you can bless others with it. And you know what? It's going to make you happy doing it. You know, we all like to feel good about what we do. And some of those talents that God's given you, that makes you feel really good when you do that. You know, some of you have got some amazing talents. And you need to be using them. You need to be using them out there where people can enjoy them and they can be put to work. Proverbs 31:25 in the New Living says, she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Or in the Amplified says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She rejoices over the future, the latter day, or time to come, knowing that she and her family are in readiness for it. So here again, we're talking about her being clothed with strength and dignity. And of course, strength means security, might, power. And dignity means honor, beauty, excellency, and glorious. So all of these things come from the inner man, but yet all of these things, she knows that the strength is the Lord of her life. And no matter how tired or run down or discouraged or not appreciated she feels, she knows the Lord is her strength and she's secure in that position. Ladies, have you ever felt like nobody appreciates what you do? Well, you know, let's be honest. Sometimes when we've washed enough clothes, changed enough dirty diapers, cleaned up the milk spills enough, cleaned the house enough, and done all those sorts of things for everybody in the house, it seems like nobody can say thank you. But you know what? As you sow those seeds, the thank yous are going to come. So I want to encourage you to stay with it, okay? God is the one that says thank you. And we can be strong and secure in that position knowing, okay, God, you called me to do this, and so I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it heartily. I'm going to do it as unto you, and you're going to repay me. And he will. We can be strong and secure because we've put on the right clothing, which is the Word of God, and faith in God, and the love of God. And that way we can walk in kindness, mercy, gentleness, peace, patience, joy, goodness, all of those things. We can walk in those because the Spirit of God is residing on the inside of us. So when we have the opportunity to not feel appreciated, we can go and say, no. I'm walking in kindness, I'm walking in mercy, I'm walking in love, I'm walking in peace, and it's all going to be all right. And lastly, we can smile at the future because we don't have to be worried about what's going to happen to our family because we know that our family's clothed, we know that our family's taken care of because of what we have done for them, not only naturally, but spiritually. And you know, we can rejoice knowing that God's taking care of it. We might look at it out here and think, God, what? You've got a handle on this? I don't think so. But he does. He's got it all taken care of. I don't care whether it's your job. I don't care if it's your kids. I don't care whether it's your mom and dad. I don't care what it is, God's got it taken care of, and we can rejoice that he's taken care of it. All right? Verse 25. I think it's verse 26, isn't it? It's verse 26, okay? When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. The Amplified says she opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. And the Message Bible says when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. Ooh, ladies, you know, we got to be sure when we're speaking we got something to say. Have we ever just been talking when we didn't really have anything to say? Well, we like to talk, okay? So this Proverbs 31 woman, she speaks with love, with kindness, with gentleness. She speaks wise words. But what kind of words are you speaking? Are you speaking kind words over your family and to your husband? Are you being critical? Do you speak love, or do you attack and criticize? Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue, so do not give life to death and negativity and demeaning words. So let's be sure we're speaking what we want. And I know sometimes, you know, situations arise and we kind of say it without thinking, and then we have to backtrack because we've said what we don't want to happen. But let's think, and let's say, you know what, I'm speaking good, and I'm going to think good. A lot of times those negative words or those critical words are what come out because we've been meditating on that. Somebody has done something to us, the kids have done something, the husband's done something, and we've meditated on it, and now we're really upset. So if they do any little thing, we unwind. I mean, we come unglued, okay? And we let them have it. So that's why we have to be careful what we're thinking so that we don't unload at times when we don't want that to happen. Another thing with your kids, do not compare your kids one to the other. Okay? They're all different. You may have 3 children and every one of them is going to be different. You may have 6 children and they're all different. Here's the thing. Do not compare them. Okay? Well, your sister can play ball better than that. Well, your brother is a whole lot smarter than you. Don't do that. Do not do that. If you've got a challenging child, do not criticize them, okay? You need to build them up. I see it in children's church. I can tell the kids that are struggling because of things that have happened at home. So please, if you've got one of those ones that's difficult, you know what? You've got to love them. You got to tell them you love them. You got to tell them it's all right. When they screw up, you got to say, okay, now listen, do you understand that what you did was not right? Let's not do it again, but I love you anyway. Okay? It's very important. I experienced this in school with our daughters. We were going to one school, and when Tracy came along, she's 6 years younger than Terry, and Tracy was different, okay? And the teachers gave Tracy a bad time. Well, why don't you act like your sister? Well, she wasn't her sister. And I expected the teachers to know better than to do that, okay? I figured they were taught that in their training to be a teacher, that you don't compare kids. That doesn't work. It just makes them more unruly. And Tracy wasn't a bad kid. Tracy just liked to have fun, okay? And she liked to... And her sister probably didn't talk that much, okay? And I could tell, at this time, Tracy was, I think, about in junior high. She'd probably been 7th grade because we moved to Auburn. And I could tell it was beginning to cause some problems because when you have a small town school, the same teachers teach all the kids, you know? Well, we happened to move in her seventh grade year, and we moved to another town, and so nobody knew her sister. So it was great because then she could be Tracy, okay? And she didn't have to be compared to her sister. But I'm just telling you, don't compare your kids. They're all different. If you had five girls, they'd all be different. If you had five boys, they're all going to be different. And that's okay. We want them to be different. Just don't compare them. Don't belittle them by putting down the other child. Terry had a piano teacher. And this piano teacher was really, I mean, she was focused on teaching the kids how to play the piano, okay? And of course, Terry was the model student. You know, she practiced, and 6 o'clock in the morning, she was up practicing the piano. You might go to bed at 10 o'clock at night, and she's still practicing the piano. But the teacher would have the other kids come and sit in on her lesson to see how she did it. And I'm thinking, don't do that. You know, this kid probably isn't going to be, and they don't care that they play the piano like Terry did. Okay? So don't compare your kids. It just will cause you issues. All right? And if you need to instruct your kids, do it with kindness. If you're mad at the time because of what they've done, cool off and then address the problem. Okay? It's not the time when we're angry and we're mad at them to discipline them, because we say things and do things that will not profit them. So if they get in trouble, if they do something, cool off, wait till the next day when you're cool, calm, and collected, and you can sit down with them and say, okay, now this is what the deal is. You know, this is why you're in trouble. This is the consequences for what you did. This is what's going to happen. But I'm forgiving you, but let's not do it again. Okay, that'll work much better. Okay, we're going to build them up. We're not going to tear them down. We're not going to criticize our kids. We're not going to criticize our husbands. We're going to build them up. Because here's the deal, ladies. We set the mood in the home. If you've ever noticed, if you're unhappy or you just had a blow up, the house gets pretty tense. So we need to keep things cool and calm. And I know we're going to have bad days and we're going to be upset, but let's keep the mood in the home as even keeled as we can, right? And sometimes we can control our moods and what we're thinking and how we react, all right? Verse 27, she carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. The Message Bible, she says she keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. And the Amplified says she looks well to how things go in her household, and the bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity she will not eat. So look, she's watching carefully over everything in her house. She's watching over her husband. She's watching over her kids. She's watching over things in the house, in the yard. She's paying attention to what's going on. And you know, when she does that, then she knows when something's not right. You guys know when there's something wrong with your kids. You can tell when they're not happy. You can tell when your husband's struggling. If you can't, you need to pay attention. I mean, they can mask it pretty good. But you know what? You can still tell. And besides that, if you're tuned into the Holy Ghost can tell you. I've had kids say, I had one kid, when we pastored in Oakland, he said, I never could do anything. God always told my mom what I was doing. So, kids, you know, mom knows, dad knows. But all I'm saying is she's not ignoring what's going on in her household. And she's keeping everybody busy. And it's okay to keep the kids busy. All right? Give them jobs to do. It's okay. If nothing else, you know, if you've got jobs to do, take them with you to do something. You know, I realize maybe they can't do a whole lot, but still take them with you. When we farmed, our kids went with us. I mean, Tracy rode in the tractor, because that's what it had to be. If we went to walk in the bean field, the kids took their toys and they sat at the end of the bean row. And it was hot. You know, it wasn't always shade out there. Right, Terry? I mean, we involved our kids. It's okay for them to see mom and dad working. There are things that they can do to help you. You know, if it's just go get the shovel or you know, go get this or whatever. Let's keep them with us so we know what they're doing and they can see how mom and dad work. And I realize we can't all take our kids to work as far as in your job, but there are things around the house and there are things that you can do that you can take your kids with you. You know, it's our responsibility to raise these kids. It's not the church, it's not the school, it's not somebody else. It's our responsibility to raise them. So let's have them with us, and let's raise them that way. The problem is, anymore, parents, and I understand, mom works, dad works, they don't want to put up with the kids when the kids said, I don't want to do that. But you know what? The kids need to do that. They need to go with you. If I'm going to run to the grocery store, it's all right to take the kids with me. Okay? And I know it's more hassle. Okay, but let's not let them rule the household. I'm mom. You're doing what I say. And I don't want to hear nothing else about it. Okay? Because what we're having kids that don't know how to take orders, that only do what they want to do, and they're going to have a rude awakening when they get out in the workforce because it doesn't work that way. And so let's train them up when they're little. This is the way we're doing. This is what we're going to do. They need to see that we work and we're productive. And it's going to make a difference in our families. And like I said, we're training up a generation of people that they don't want to work. You can go to any business here in Sioux Falls, and they'll tell you it's hard to find good workers. We're just talking to the people that run Charlie's. They have an awful time. Kid might come one time and he doesn't show up again. They might hire somebody and they never show up for work. I was talking to the lady at the greenhouse. She says, it's impossible to find good help. She says, I have to take what help I have and I have to make it do. I have to make allowances. It had not to be. Our kids had not to be those kids. Our kids ought to be the one that when they get a job, and they need to have a job, they go to work. They're not staying home. Well, I don't feel good. Well, I got a headache. Well, I hurt my little finger. Well, no. Go to work. It's our responsibility to teach them. And we can do it in kindness. We can do it in love. But kids, we're going to go to work. We're going to be productive. This is the way it is. You're going to get a job. You're going to work. So I'll get off my high horse. But I really do. I feel sorry for the businesses because they can't find good help. You can talk to any of the construction guys in our church, and they're having an awful time. Find them people that will work. People don't want to work. That's why they have to bring the people in from Central America and stuff, because those people will work. They'll be there at work time in the morning and they'll work until 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night or whatever. Because they got families that are home that are starving. They'll go to work. And they'll work. They'll work the crummy jobs, you know? And we don't want to do them. I gotta work. I gotta get dirty. Come on. Let's go to work. Okay? Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So because this virtuous woman has invested and poured herself into her family, they praise her, they honor her, and respect her. And you might say, well, they don't do that to me. Now, wait a minute. We're planting seeds, remember? So we're gonna keep planting seeds. And eventually, we're going to get a harvest. Because we can't expect our 9-month-old or our 2-year-old to say thank you. Okay? We can't expect maybe our husband of 1 year or 2 years to say thank you. You know, he's got to grow. We have to grow. But we're planting seeds. And because she has planted those seeds, because she's loved her family, because she's taken care of them, now they rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also praises her. And he will. But you got to stick with it. And that's what we're wanting. We're wanting to reach that point when they say thank you. And they will, because they're going to recognize one day, look what mom did for me. Look how mom loved me. They know that you love her, love them, you trust them, you're going to stand behind them no matter what, even when they screw up. Hey, moms, they know they've screwed up, okay? But they still need somebody to say, okay, you screwed up, but you know what? It's okay. We're going on. And those are the kids that are going to go on and they'll be successful because somebody come along behind them and said, it's okay, we're going on, right? They weren't put down, they weren't criticized, that you didn't keep bringing up what they did. The worst thing we can do is keep bringing up what they did or what they didn't do. Hey, forget about it. It's over and done. We can't do anything about it. We can learn a lesson from it, but we can move on. And so that's what we need to do. Don't bring it up, okay? They screwed up. You know it. They know it. We've already disciplined them. We've already told them the situation. So now let's go on. And because of that, then these kids are going to rise up and call her blessed. And her husband's going to do it too. See, at the beginning, we find the husband that's putting his trust in his wife. And now he sees a return on his investment, and he gives her tribute. Why? Because she resolved that she was going to do him only good all the days of her life. And now hears of her success from him whose welfare has been her major objective. Verse 29, there are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you suppress them all. So this is undoubtedly the speech from the husband. He's given testimony to the excellency of his wife. He praised his wife, saying she's excelled them all. And how did she excel? Well, in taking care of her family, both spiritually and naturally. All those things that we've talked about, house, clothes, cleaning, food, all those nice things that we've done, praying over him, supporting him, loving him, all of that. And now he's saying thank you. So let's be that example. Let's raise the bar and not be a part of the filth and the junk and the low level of living that's going on in our nation today. Let's rise above and bring a new level of living to our families and those around us. Let's be worthy of honor and praise. We're not all perfect. We all have weaknesses. But let's do our best to be worthy of honor and praise. Proverbs verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Or the Amplified says, charm and grace are deceptive and beauty is vain because it's not lasting, but a woman who reverently and worshipfully fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now I can tell you that beauty doesn't last, okay? As you get older, somewhere along the line, you look in the mirror and go, ooh, I'm getting old. I look old, you know? But it's not that outward appearance that we're looking at. We're looking at the heart of this woman. And Charles Bridges says, for the lovely features described, her fidelity to her husband, her active personal habits, her good management and diligence to her family, her consideration for the necessities and comfort of others, her watchfulness of conduct, her tenderness for the poor and afflicted, her kind and courteous behavior to all, this completeness of character and grace could only flow from that virtue which is identified with vital godliness. They are the good fruit that prove the tree to be good. So it's all of those things that make us charming and beautiful and graceful. It's not the outward appearance. You know, we've got a friend that I mean, no offense, but he's tall and he is not good looking whatsoever. But you know what? It's not his looks. He's just he's a really good friend. I mean, I've went to school with him all my life. Okay? So it's not how he looked. It was what was in his heart. And so that's what you need to see. Okay, I'm not beauty. Okay, I'm not Miss America. But it's not my outward appearance. I can look nice. I can do everything that I can to look nice. But that can be deceitful. It's what's in my heart. What have I put in there? I put in the fear of the Lord. I put in that I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. And that's going to be what comes out. That's what's going to show. And verse 31 says, reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praise. So this virtuous woman, now we looked at all those things, and it's like Tiffany said, it looked like this woman was, it's impossible to do all she does. But it's over a lifetime that she did these things, okay? But she's going to be rewarded for all that she's done. It's a principle of seed time and harvest. Her husband praises her. Her children praise her. She's praised in public because of what she's done. This lady was amazing. And we all can be this virtuous woman, okay? God didn't put this in here for us not to be able to attain it. He put this in here to help us to understand that we can walk like this. This is an example that we can follow. And you know what? It was her works that praised her. I think about Dorcas. And when she died, they all come bringing all these garments and all these things to Peter to show what she had made. Dorcas didn't have to blow her own horn. All the other people did it. They said, look at this. They come in crying and stuff because she'd made all of this stuff. And now she was gone. So you know what? They'll praise us. But if we're trustworthy and we seek the Lord and we take care of our families, others are going to notice. And they're going to praise us and are going to honor us. And they're going to say, hey, what is it about you that's different? They're going to recognize it. They know there's something different about us. And that's when we can share, hey, you know what? It's God. It's what he's done for me. It's my trusting in him. It's looking to him. He's the one I trust in. And as a wife and a mother, how many of you know we need him to trust us, to trust in? I'd hate to think of trying to be a wife and mother without Jesus there. I mean, I tried it for a while. I mean, we had a great marriage, okay? There was no reason for us to get born again. It wasn't like things were bad or anything. But God was tugging at our hearts. He was tugging us in a different direction. And I thank God. Because, you know, I could have been like my mom. I had a good mom. But, I mean, you know, she had her faults. Thank God I didn't have to go totally in that direction. Okay? I didn't have to worry and be anxious and be critical. So I could go, no. That's not who I am. That's not who the new Kathy is. She's a new creature in Christ, and she's going to walk in love and mercy and forgiveness. She's going to love her husband and love her kids and love people. That's who we are, and that's who God wants us to be. So I just want to encourage you today that, you know what? We can bloom. We can be the beautiful rose, the beautiful daisy, because that's what God's called us to be. He handcrafted us. He made us special. He's got a job for us to do. And if it's a wife and mother, hey, guys, it's the greatest. And you know what? The mothering part is forever. But, you know, there's a time there when it's more of a mother. I mean, you're always going to be a mother, and you're always going to try to tell your kids what to do, okay? You're always going to mother over them. Well, honey, don't do that. Terry, why did you do that? You know you're not supposed to be doing that. You know. And she ignores me. You're right. She doesn't listen to her mother. And probably all of you have done the same thing. I bet Jess. Jess listens to your mom every day, don't you? Even when she hides the cookies. Okay, well, you know what? We're grown up. But do you understand what I mean? I want you to be happy where you are. Too many ladies are not happy. And it shouldn't be. We got a great life here to live. And God's on our side. And he wants to walk along with us. And I know some of us, we're walking through some tough times. Okay? We got some mighty big storms out there. But you know what? God's on your side. And don't put him off. Don't run from him. Like I said last night, run to the house of God. Don't run away from it. So many people run away from the house of God when they hit a storm. That's where you need to run to, because that's where your strength is. That's where your encouragement is. That's where he wants to help you. Okay? So please, just whatever your role is, wherever you are in life now, rejoice in it. You know, maybe you've just, you know, it's getting that time of year where kids are graduating and maybe it's your last one and they're leaving home. Your role's going to be a little different. But you know what? Let's rejoice in that. I see too many moms, their kids graduate, and they park there. Hey, there's a great life ahead. You know, yeah, we were moms and they took a lot of our attention, but now we're free to do something else. Let's be happy and joyful. Okay? This Proverbs 31 woman lives a life of balance, both in the natural and in the spiritual. So we can be happy both places. We can be happy here in this world, and we can be happy in the spirit.